How are you doing, guys?
Good. Brad True Living, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, joins us. I was just saying to Pat, so we may as well pick it up. You have had, I think, a really interesting first year as a general manager. And by that, some of the little scenarios that have come up that are more media fan-driven. I mentioned before about, you know, first game of the year, and I'm asking you about Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel. You had your veterans all get hurt, and they come back, and then the team slides, and people are asking you, well, should you put your veterans back in? You bring up Joni Ortio. He ends up standing on his head in Vancouver, and now everybody's going, well, shouldn't he be your goalie the rest of the way? It's been some interesting challenges, Brad.
Yeah, and not a shortage of opinions out there,
no.
as I'm finding.
But,
no, but it probably not like any other year you go through, and, you know, I guess the good news is it makes for what I think is those are good decisions to have. You know, when you talk about some of the young players making a push, and, you know, quite frankly, the general theme is you've got, you know, a lot of players, whether it be goaltender, you know, you can only have two. You've got three that have now with Yoni's performance the other night that have made a case, and then up front, and you've got extra people. So, which is a good thing. So it makes for some difficult and long decisions, but that's a good thing. So we'll get it sorted out here over the course of the next little bit. But it's been a weird comment today. 39 games to go. It certainly goes by quick, and it felt the other day we're sitting here in training camp and getting ready to start, and now we're sort of in the stretch drive. So it's been an interesting and exciting first half.
Let's start there then. Assess your team's first half based on, you know, the goals you had coming in, based on the observations you had in training camp. What have you made of your team's first 42 games, 43 games?
Well, I think we're still evolving. One of the things, I guess, as we sit here today, the biggest surprise, might not be the best word, but probably surprise is you know, the progression of some of our younger players. I'll be honest, I did not expect Johnny Gaudreau to be not necessarily ready for the league, but to produce to the extent that he has. And then when you go, again, sort of across the line, I think we've got a lot of younger players that are ready to make a NHL contribution, which is a good sign. I think, you know, it stays with the comments I made initially coming in here. You have a pretty good idea. You've got scouting reports, and you've got some outside knowledge. What I've spent the last, 3.5 months, whatever we've been going out here, is really getting a more inside knowledge of our organization and sort of the timeline on some of the players. So, but where we are, I think we're still evolving. We're, you know, we definitely have some areas that we need to improve upon and upgrade as we move forward. But to be in that mix, and what's important for me is we're playing meaningful games, you know, as we get into the midpoint of January. And, you know, listen, we want to push as hard as we can, and our goal is to finish above that line in the top eight. But it's really important. It's part of the process is playing these games that mean, you know, we met with the leadership group today, and I said, you know, a lot was talked about, you know, the end of the year last year with this team. And I think a lot of strides were taken. But having said that, there's a difference in playing games, you know, the last 20 where you're a long way out of a playoff spot, and, you know, the meaning isn't in terms of life and death of whether you're going to make the playoffs or not. These games now are, you know, it's a high pressure situation. There's a lot at stake, and I think that's a great environment. You know, you learn in those types of situations. We all talk about areas that can stimulate growth. And I think playing in games that are, you know, pressure packed and in difficult buildings against top teams when you are pushing for a playoff spot, you know, that those are experiences that you have to go through. You can't just talk about them and those types of things. You have to be involved in them. So that to me makes the second half very exciting.
You mentioned young players stepping in and making an impact at the NHL level, but then you've got Poirier, Arnold, Berge's playing better, Culkin's having a great year, Watherspoon. We see what Ortio did on Saturday. How happy are you with the organizational depth that you're starting to maybe see knock on the door for NHL jobs?
Yeah, and that's all part of the process, Pat. And it's important. You know, in building an organization, it's not just the, as we talk about, the 23 names you see here, but it's throughout your reserve list. And, you know, those are important assets and important players that, you know, hopefully one day are going to be here with you, or if not, hopefully we'll turn into people that will be here with you. So, you know, we've seen a great deal of growth at the American League level. The names that you've talked about, and there's you know, I think we were looking the other day, if we're not the youngest, I think it's the second youngest team in the league down there. And so they're getting put into, you know, real critical roles, and Sven's a perfect example, I think. We've talked a lot about Sven, and when he first went down at training camp, I think it was a struggle for him. I think mentally, just adjusting, came up, went back down, and he's been excellent since he's been down there. He's played well. Poirier's played well. We've got, you know, a couple young defensemen that are playing well, and I know I harp on it all the time, but you know, allowing those players to develop properly down there and give them extended time. Is an important part of what we're doing. So when they do come here, you know, they're ready. We're giving them a chance to succeed. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stories going on down there.
Okay, so how do you strike the balance? Because you mentioned, you know, not every single one of those guys is going to necessarily play on the Calgary Flames. So how do you strike the balance? What's your philosophy in terms of assets versus prospects, and how you might decide if one player is an asset and might be involved in a move to you know, help you elsewhere?
Well, each individual case is different. You're seeing where the player is progressing. And ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, this job is about player assessment. And, you know, we, as an organization, we just finished some pro scouting meetings where a lot of, you know, you go through all the teams in the league, but you spend a lot of time. I think one of the missteps in our game sometimes is you go out and spend a lot of time looking at other teams. And you may not, as a staff, spend enough time looking at your own team and deciphering as player A that you have got a bigger window or bigger upside than player B on another organization. So to me, it's all about where you see the development in each player, you know, projecting that development. And then as you go around and look and talk and are in discussions with other teams, if there's potential matches, sometimes it's, you know, organizational depth at certain positions, and those types of things. But the biggest thing I find is you have to have patience for young players. You know, even that step for a lot of kids out of college to or junior to the American League is a big step. You know, you look at a Billy Arnold who, you know, I think went through an adjustment period at the first. Now he's hit a stride. Unfortunately, got hurt over the weekend. You know, fairly significant injury that's going to keep him out for some time, but you know, he's progressing. Ryan Culkin's progressing. So you know, I hate to keep reading the, but like a Sven, you know, this guy's still 22 years old. Yeah. We're seeing him now progress. So you have to have patience with players. They all develop. You know, for every Sean Monahan that steps in at 19 years old, there's 20 that take a lot longer.
With Bradshaw living, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, I know we're talking a lot about the pro prospects. Just a thought maybe on some of the kids that were drafted or in college. Anybody jumping off the page? I know Rapikov you would have seen at the World Juniors, but anybody having a really good year?
Yeah, I think, you know, John Gillies is having a real good year in Providence. One guy, I don't want to necessarily leave anybody out, but one guy that really sort of under the radar, if you will, but it's having a tremendous year, is Austin Carroll. Austin, folks may remember, was really impressive in rookie camp. I thought he had a really good tournament in Penticton. Mm-hmm. Got into a preseason game here. Big, strong right winger. I think the last I looked, he was seventh in scoring in the Western League. I mean, third in goals. And that was our debate. I mean, he's a physically. You know, we talked about maybe turning him pro last year. We want him to go back in a certain and be in a role probably he hasn't been in, and that's first of all a leadership role and play in every offensive situation. And I think it's, you know, he's grabbed the ball and run with it. So he's had an excellent year to date. But there's a number of them. You know, we got to continue to add to that cupboard. Hunter Smith was in to see him. Again, fortunately got banged up here this weekend, but he's taken a step forward. So, you know, we do have some players. We got to add to that list, but there's some players, as you mentioned, at the junior collegiate level that are having good seasons.
You inherit a project pick from 2012 and Mark Jankowski, and that was admitted by the previous administration. I'm just curious on your observation of Jankowski. Is he making strides?
He is. I went in and saw Mark a couple weeks ago now. I think, you know, it's probably been talked about. There's a lot of physical development that was needed with Mark, and he's taking great strides in that. He's still got a ways to go. Mm-hmm. You can even see from the summer he's physically maturing.
Right.
But no question, there's still room for growth, and there's needed growth for him. So he's taking steps. Where, you know, in terms of his timeline, I still think that he's going to need some time. Now he's completing his junior season. We'll talk mm-hmm. internally, and we'll talk with him. Our player development people, Ron Sutter and Troy Crowder, do a very good job in terms of staying really in touch with the player throughout the year. So we'll talk more as we get near the end of the year. But again, Mark's got a long, rangy player right now. He's got some skill, big centerman. And we talked about, how important that position is, and we'll see how he develops. But, there's still some ways to go in terms of his development, but I think everybody recognized that at the time he was drafted.
Sam Bennett, we, heard from last week, continues to rehab coming back from his injury. I feel like I keep asking you the same question over and over again, but every time I ask him, the kid convinces me again that he's going to play. Brad, this year, realistic, what's a goal for him? Is it to get him back into the Ontario Hockey League and playing?
You know what? In all honesty, Rob, we haven't even got to that point yet.
Okay.
You know, our whole mission, I think once you start saying you're going here, you're going there, just knowing Sam, he's like a dog on a bone.
Yes, he is.
our only instructions to him is let's get healthy. And, you know, I think he is, and this is not mine, but through the doctors, he's ahead of schedule. So he's now, as you said, for the last week or so been skating. We'll progress that. Sort of a general timeline for him is sort of non-contact skating till the end of this month. Mm. They feel he can get back into some contact and more regular practice, if you will, at or near the end of the month of January. And then you get into probably the middle of the month, middle of February, is when you project potentially him being ready to play wherever that may be.
Right.
So a lot of different things can happen between now and then in terms of and people have asked me, well, is it depending on where the team's at? To me, that's all secondary. The number one decision based upon, first of all, let's get him healthy, let's get him, make sure he's ready to play, and then we're going to make the decision what's best for Sam and best for us. And whether that's playing here or playing in the Ontario Hockey League, I just, you know, that hasn't been a focus at all of ours right now. It's just let's get him back healthy, strong, and up and going, and then we'll cross that bridge at the appropriate time.
Points aside, how thrilled have you been with how easily Michael Backlund's been able to jump back into the lineup and contribute all over the ice?
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point, Pat. I mean, obviously the production is great, and I don't think anybody would expect what he's at 5 points in three games and scored in all three of his games. So we need it. but it goes to show you the head of this player. I think he's, even if those points aside, he's done really good things defensively. You know, he's a smart player. He's made others around him better. I'm shocked, quite frankly. I mean, he missed 29 games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a type of injury. If you do something with a hand, you can still skate. He was in one where he was off the ice for a long time, and then you're jumping right back in, you know, when the league's going a million miles an hour. So, and the schedule actually sets up okay for him. You know, he comes in, he plays a game, then we have a back-to-back that he's able to get through. Now you have a few days for him to, again, get some practice time. So we're hopeful that he can keep it going, but it's been a big addition. To me, he almost looked like it's a, you know, you've traded for somebody halfway through the season, because we really haven't had Michael all year. So it's been a great addition.
I think every time you've been here this year, we've talked about this in some form or another, and that depth that you have down the middle. Mm-hmm. So with Backlund there and Stajan, we just talked about Bennett. Granlund's played center. Juris has played center. Arnold's having a great year down the middle in Adirondack. Does it become a headache when you start to think about how it projects, or are you just like, yeah, these are problems I want to have. Let's make these hard decisions, but they're fun.
Yeah, having too many centermen is never a problem. I mean, you always want to be able to slot people accordingly. We've just acquired another guy in Drew Shore. a little bit different in his own right, a bigger body. You know, people talk about where does he slot in. You hear a lot about of a third line guy. To me, he's a guy who's really was an offensive player for the most, you know, coming out of college and has really learned defensively, responsibility defensively, and has been a real good two-way player in the American League the last year and a half. So you add him to the mix. It's a critical position. It's a critical position. And at the end of the day, you can never have too many, and if you do, you may be able to do something in terms of shore up another position. That doesn't bother me at all. If you've got excess NHL centermen, that's a good problem to have.
Final one for me, and you mentioned it on Friday when you addressed Drew, the waiver situation. One more game, and he is waiver eligible. So is that a worry, or do we sometimes make too much about waivers and that possibility? Because I know it's something that's talked about a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think in his situation, it was a big part of, well, quite frankly, it was the reason he was down. I think he's ready to come in and play and close to being a regular guy. I mean, he's got to establish that. Sure. He's played a lot of NHL games, but you have to be conscious of it. You know, it's like our situation. You always like to have the roster flexibility. But it's one of those situations where, you know, once he crosses that threshold, for all intents and purposes, you're looking at a player that isn't going to clear waivers. You know, when you're sitting on a two-way contract, a young player who's done well at the American League, and again, the position that we've talked about, everybody's desperate for centermen. So we knew that. We were very well aware of it. It's something we talked a lot about with our guys. And, you know, this deal really happened. It was a player we knew a lot about going back for a year or two, even going back to his draft year. And then it turned out we had all of our scouting meetings going on last week, and our guys have seen him recently. I was in to see him last week. Our scouts were adamant that this is a guy that again, it's an asset. Mm-hmm. Corbin Knight was a real, in the short time I was with him, one of the best kids I've met. And it's always difficult saying goodbye to those people, but we felt that this is a player that, moving forward could help us. We'll see where that goes. It could be a situation where we see him sooner rather than later, but we'll let things play out here the next little bit. But you have to be you have to be aware of it. You know, you have to be aware that once he crosses that threshold, then, you know, you've got a decision to make.
Was it a unique deal in the sense that Florida had drafted Corbin and was unable to get it? Was there kind of a desire on their part that might have been a little more hungry than other teams for a Corbin Knight just because they never quite got him?
Yeah, I mean, it's unique for sure, Rob, when you've had a player that's gone through the situation there. One thing, excuse me, that, you know, and I think there was a lot of teams talking to Florida on this deal. They were trying to get the best asset that they could get. And I think they look at a guy, the one thing I think with Corbin is they probably knew him better than others, having had him and seen him through college and so on and so forth. So, you know, as I said to Corbin, it may be it's a little bit different in the sense you're going back there. But again, it's a team that knows you and likes you and obviously are giving up a good player to get you. And I think he'll do fine there. I think he'll do fine, and I don't think there's any hard feelings. And it does go to show you never know where this crazy game is going to take you. But I think it'll prove to be a good situation for Corbin moving forward.
Just a couple more. One, obviously March 2nd, the trade deadline is important in our business, certainly important in your business. But I'm curious about things like decisions. For instance, we started off talking about goaltending. We all know that Joni Orteo's on a one-way next year. Kai Rammo's an expiring, and Jonas has got another year. It seems to me the organization would have to make a decision on goaltending. Is something like that, and not necessarily that example, but something like that, or perhaps a pending free agent, are you going to keep him or are you going to deal him at the deadline? When is the the timeline? I mean, do you have to have decisions made by today? Do you have to have decisions, obviously, made by the second? How do you view these kind of longer-term financial or contractual decisions?
Well, those, yes. I mean, the deadline, obviously, is a it's a trigger point because that ends a lot of your movement up until the end of the season, up until June. Those, you know, a lot of people may think you see the deadline, you see a lot of these deals. A lot of the planning of that even goes back to last summer, you know, even going into the draft and talking about where players are and when movement may happen. So we spent a lot of time, you know, last week even, again, refining a plan. Now, whether the plan is able to be executed is another part of it. But I fully believe you need to be, you need to have your plan in place in terms of things such as contractual status and where your roster fits and who doesn't maybe in the following year and who's pending and who you may be able to re-sign. And if you can't, what, you know, and the fits that may be out there in terms of matches throughout the league. So those discussions happen now and have been happening for weeks, really, in terms of, you know, a lot of it too is you've got an A, B, and a C plan depending where your team is. It's always difficult where you're, depending where your team, if you're taking things off your team and replacing it with futures in terms of picks and those teams, those types of things, as well as trying to project where other teams may be. So although a lot of the flurry happens at the deadline or right before it, a lot of those things you try to, you're planning for months in advance. And you know, Brian's talked about it, and I think it's a, you know, him and I have talked about it. He's shown in the past too, a lot of, you'd like to always get in front of it. I mean, the deadline becomes, it can just get crazy. And we saw it even last year where there was a couple of, you know, big fish out there that in some cases ended up not moving and in some cases not moving till late. And it's, you know, it's like a funnel. It's like five lanes going into one and it backs everything up. So you got to be prepared and you try to, if possible, to get your business done ahead of it. You'd like to. That's not always possible.
On Friday, you were on with Pat, and he asked the question about Brian McGrattan, and at that time, you were going through the process. He cleared waivers. You've assigned him to Adirondack. That's now twice that you've essentially put veteran National Hockey Leaguers down in the American Hockey League, which I cannot imagine is an easy thing to do, and particularly in this case. Was that the only alternative that was available to you, was to assign him to Adirondack?
Yeah, we looked at, you know, we talked about Brian. This, you know, went on for a while when we saw him regularly not playing. That's difficult for, it's difficult for the player, first and foremost. You know, everybody wants to play. You know, we met with Brian and his representative a number of weeks ago and mapped out a strategy, you know, with ultimately the goal being getting Brian back and playing. Because if he's to be able to help us, he needs to play. And when we sort of picked a time frame on the calendar, said if we're not getting him in, or if he's not able to get in the lineup by this particular time, then let's look at alternatives. So we looked and talked to teams throughout the league to see if there was interest there. Obviously got to a point where we put him up on waivers and made him available. And as I said to Brian, now to me it's a matter of going and playing. It's difficult to sit out 20 plus games and then jump back in the lineup. It was, to answer the question too, Rob, it was a very difficult because of the person. You know, this is a guy that I've got a history with back to Phoenix. I think everybody that follows our team knows, you know, there's a lot more that Brian does than you know, what we see just on the ice from 7 to 9:30 at nights. He's a real popular player in our dressing room. He was a pro throughout this process, and he understands for him to continue his career, he needs to get up and playing. So it's never easy, but these are the difficult decisions you have to make. And, you know, I wouldn't be I'm not saying we've seen the end of Brian here, but he has to get up and playing, and he's working through, we're working through his immigration. He's got to get an immigration thing, hopefully in the next couple of days here, and then he'll be back in Adirondack up and playing, and we'll go from there.
This goes all the way back to the beginning of the conversation when you said you embrace the challenge, the decisions of good decisions, and I suppose the youth really kind of played a role in this too, right? If you didn't have kids pushing.
It did. You know where it really hit home with me, Rob, is you know, we had a couple of times where you know, we had injuries and people were coming up from Adirondack ahead of Brian. And you know, as I said to Bob is in charge of the lineup card every night. And, you know, I think Bob is no different than any other coach. He puts the 20 players that think are going to give him the best chance to win that night. And so now, when we went that period of time without Brian playing, I said, to give yourself the bet, you got to get back and play. And this will give him that chance. In a lot of respects, we wanted to make him available to see if there's a chance for him to stay right now in the NHL. But as I told him, this, I felt keeping him in the organization was great. You know, that was, I know it's not where he wants to be right now, but he's going to go down with a great attitude, and we're glad to continue to have him. And but when we saw younger players pushing and getting in ahead of him, we had to free up some space, give ourselves some roster flexibility, and second of all, get Brian playing.
I'm going to come way out of left field and take the pressure off you, because all these questions have been about you and your team. I want to pick your brain before we let you go as an avid sportsman.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch a little NFL last night?
Watched. I caught a little bit here
and
there.
Did you see the Green Bay-Dallas ending?
I did see that.
Where are you at on things like video replay? Because my esteemed colleague and I go around the mulberry bush on this. I'm back to the point now where I'm saying throw it all out. Mm-hmm. You know, let human error rule, because we're now dealing with minutia, aren't we?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? This is something, you know, I watched that. And again, I'll claim ignorance with the rule. Ultimately, if there's a rule, there's a rule. It looked like a good catch to me. Now, I'm the novice here, so... but it's always that age-old debate of how much, you know, I think as anybody in the game, your whatever game it is, you do first and foremost want to get it right.
Yep.
But, you know, you go back and forth. At the end of the day, part of our makeup in sports is there's the human element and there's mistakes and so on and so forth. But ultimately, as long as we're not bogging down the game, as long as we're not spending 4 hours to play games, I fall on the side of let's get it right. You know, and when players put so much into it, as much as it's probably a heartache and a hard day in Dallas today, if in fact that is the rule that was followed, then I think we should make sure if the rule is there, then the rule's got to be upheld, and let's get it right and do whatever we can to do that in a very timely basis, but let's get it right.
Appreciate this. We now know we can bring you in as our NFL analyst.
There you go.
Novice.
Very novice.
As always, appreciate the time, Brad.
Thanks,
continued success, and here's hoping the decisions continue to be difficult for you.
That's great. Thanks again, guys.